Real Madrid, Juventus, Bayern, Roma, Ajax, and both Manchester clubs qualified on Tuesday, and four more teams confirmed their round of 16 places on Wednesday night. But it's still all to play for in Group C after Liverpool lost to Paris Saint-Germain.
Cavani, saved by Becker, in by Neymar. A second goal of such significance, surely.
Napoli now top that section. Barcelona confirmed top spot in Group B, but Inter went down at Wembley.
Chance here for Dele Alli. He can tee it up for Eriksen. It's there for Spurs. That could be the goal that keeps their Champions League dream alive.
And Atletico qualified for the knockout stages once more too, after seeing off Monaco.
Back to Griezmann, it must be two. He's finished it delightfully with the outside of his left boot. Almost as if he had so much time, he could choose the more difficult finish.
Dortmund are also through in Group A, while Porto beat Schalke to win Group D, but both clubs progress. We'll bring you analysis and reaction to Wednesday night's matches, and you'll hear from Harry Kane, Christian Eriksen and Mauricio Pochettino. So stay with us here on UEFA Champions League Match Day Live. Welcome to the show. I'm Chris Parrott, and the European football expert Andy Brassel is alongside me. The last 16 really starting to take shape now.
Yes, it really is. And, you know, there's a lot riding on it for some big teams tonight. You look at Paris Saint-Germain, you look at Tottenham in particular. They had to produce under the hardest pressure imaginable, and they did so.
They certainly did. There is a separate podcast for Tuesday night's games. It's been a great week in the UEFA Champions League. These are the results from Wednesday. Group A, Atletico 2, Monaco 0, and Dortmund 0, Club Brugge 0. In Group B, it finished Tottenham 1, Inter 0, and PSV 1, Barcelona 2, Lionel Messi with yet another goal. In Group C, Napoli 3, Sevena Zvezda 1, and Paris Saint-Germain 2, Liverpool 1. And in Group D, Lokomotiv Moskva 2, Galatasaray 0, and Porto 3, Schalke 1. We will start our look at Wednesday's action in the super tight Group C at the Parc des Princes, where Liverpool could have sealed qualification and Paris Saint-Germain could have gone out. Phil Blacker was your commentator.
In for Cavani, comes out for Wampanado, only scored on the right foot. Alisson wrong-footed, and Paris lead already. In this huge game in Group C, it's the unlikely goal scorer. Down the left into the penalty area. Crosses for Cavani. Saved by Becker, in by Neymar. 2-0 Paris.
James Milner, so reliable usually from the penalty spot, but up against a formidable foe in Gianluigi Buffon. Big, big kick here in Liverpool season. And Milner scores. Sends Buffon the wrong way. He dived to the left. The ball went to his right into the corner.
Well, Paris Saint-Germain had lots of pressure and a lot to prove. Phil Blacker joins us now. They certainly answered some of the questions levelled against them.
They proved plenty with that performance under the greatest degree of pressure. To some extent, their season was on the line. It was certainly their biggest game of the season. And how Thomas Tuchel's team responded, really in both penalty areas. We saw how composed and clinical they could be in attack in the first half. We saw the pace of Mbappe and the couple of goals that had them on course for this vital victory. And almost out of nothing, really, at the end of the first half, Liverpool got themselves a lifeline with that penalty. Milner scored, picture of composure, which set up the second half. That would have been psychologically difficult. We touched on it at half-time that Paris had to respond to that disappointment. And they certainly did that with a brilliant defensive display in the second half. They did have chances, isolated chances maybe to go on and make it safe, but they were focused on holding on to what they had. And the fact that that Milner penalty was the only shot Liverpool had on target in the whole game, I think just underlines how successful Paris were in doing that job defensively, and Liverpool's threat was thwarted. They were flooding bodies forward at every opportunity, desperately going for the equalising goal, knowing how important a point would have proved in the context of the group, and yet Buffon really in goal had very little to do, and Liverpool fell short in that respect because of the strength of that Paris performance. Yeah, they were under pressure, they had points to prove, and they stood up when required and suggested that if they do come through this group and a win now in Belgrade on match day six, they are through, they could be contenders to go a long way.
Third straight away defeat for Liverpool, last season's beaten finalists. Remember, for me, almost the first half we knew Paris Saint-Germain can play like that, they have incredible attacking quality, but I wasn't so sure that they would be able to be as diligent to keep a side like Liverpool at bay. But it was almost a complete performance from Thomas Tuchel's team.
It was. I mean, they were dazzling in the first half. I think that they were intense yet very, very calm in the first half. They were careful with the ball, much more careful with the ball than Liverpool were. That was really the difference in the first half. And to balance those two contrasting elements was something pretty special to watch, especially in the circumstances of extreme pressure. But the way they defended in the second half, It does make you wonder, maybe this is why Liverpool are having difficulty scoring, especially on the road. We always knew they were a team that set to counter-attack, and they ruthlessly made the most of those opportunities last season. They've had very little of those opportunities, that fantastic front three last season. And, you know, you were thinking, when you were looking at all the substitutions they could make, well, they're never going to bring off one of the front three. But in the end, Jurgen Klopp ended up bringing off Roberto Firmino, because as Phil was saying, he wasn't getting in the game. They tried something different with Daniel Sturridge, and he didn't really get in the game either. And the problem is, in all those away games, Liverpool haven't really looked like scoring that often. Even at Crvena Zvezda in Belgrade, they managed to keep them at arm's length. Of course, the goalkeeper made some good saves, but, you know, he's never really under the pump. And this is a problem for Liverpool. And you have to wonder, it's happened before with teams that have got fantastic front threes. Does the team just become a beast to feed that front three? And does that cause a disconnect in the team? At the moment, I think there are a lot of questions over Liverpool's midfield. Of course, James Milner, who stood up again tonight, who was excellent again tonight, he goes without saying he's got to be the first name on that team sheet, pretty much. But, you know, you've got Fabinho and Keita on the bench, players who could have given them a bit more steel, a bit more craft. Should Klopp have integrated them a bit more by this point in the season?
It's just a very fair point. And maybe he looks back at resting a few players in Belgrade on the last match day and they were beaten. Is it too unfair to suggest that Liverpool may, away from home, slightly been found out this season? They were so good last campaign, but something has changed this season.
No doubt that's where their difficulty has been. Fortunate in an extent that they still have a chance to salvage it at Anfield. It's going to require a performance of huge levels of commitment, isn't it, in a couple of weeks' time on match day six to get that two-goal victory that they're going to require against Napoli. But at Anfield, Andy kind of alluded to it, you wouldn't necessarily be surprised if they were able to conjure up that sort of performance. But they've given themselves it all to do. They've got their backs against the wall because of their form away from home. This is a team that averaged 3 goals a game in the UEFA Champions League on reach of the final last season. And for this front three to not really create anything of note, despite all the frenzied attacks that they launched during the game. I mean, it tells you everything about the impressive nature of Paris's defence, but it's clearly where Liverpool's problem is. It's the same squad, really, that has been strengthened with depth over the summer. It looks like Jurgen Klopp has done something about the defensive deficiencies. Alisson coming in has given them a really world-class goalkeeper as well. And you would expect, therefore, that they'd have that foundation to build further and even improve further on the attacking threat. It hasn't happened for whatever reason away from home in this competition.
I think I saw a stat that since the start of last season, that front three has scored 78% of their Champions League goals. If they don't perform and they don't click, clearly there's going to be a bit of an issue for Liverpool. Elsewhere in this section, it finished Napoli 3, Crvena Zvezda 1. Marek Hamšík opening the scoring on 11 minutes with a bit of a tap-in. Dries Mertens making it 2 and then 3 either side of half-time. It meant that Ben Nabuane's goal after 57 minutes was a bit of a consolation. Now, that result, had Paris Saint-Germain lost, would have put them out. which is still an extraordinary thing to say, given that we're now talking about them being one of the contenders for this season's Champions League. And it means match day six, if we look ahead. Absolutely brilliant. Paris Saint-Germain go to Svena Zvezda. Liverpool host Napoli. And because Napoli won the game in Naples, Liverpool have to win on match day six at Anfield to have any chance of going through. It is complicated. You have to get the calculators out, but Liverpool have to win to have any chance of going through. So it's going to be another big European night at Anfield, isn't it?
It is, and I think I do believe in Liverpool's ability to come through it, and the Anfield factor, as Phil was saying. But on the other hand, you have to give respect to the way that Napoli performed in the first game. I mean, they were never making up the numbers in this group. They're a very good team anyway. They've kept together most of that team from last season. And then, on top of that, they've got Carlo Ancelotti pulling the strings.
Yes.
And he tactically outthought Jurgen Klopp in the first game. And I wonder if that's put a little gremlin in Liverpool's head, because they created nothing in that first game. And I wonder if it's shown to Svena Zvezda and actually Paris how to play against Liverpool and how to play that front three. So, you know, it won't be easy for Liverpool.
It's going to be a huge test. Match day six, Tuesday the 11th of December. This is the section going in to the final group game. Napoli top with 9 points. Paris Saint-Germain second with 8. Then come Liverpool with 6. Then come Svena Zvezda with 4. Liverpool could still finish bottom of the section. I don't think they will, but it is a possibility. To Group B now, and to Wembley, where Tottenham needed to win to have any chance of pipping opponents Inter to a place in the knockout stages. Commentary from Mark Scott.
Sissoko on the charge here for Spurs, getting towards the area. Chance here for Dele Alli. He can tee it up for Eriksen. It's there for Spurs. That could be the goal that keeps their Champions League dream alive. And it's Christian Eriksen who's fired into the roof of the net. Pandemonium at Wembley. Spurs may still be able to pull it off. Tottenham 1, Inter 0.
Well, let's hear from two of Spurs' heroes now, the goal scorer Christian Eriksen and the captain Harry Kane.
We had to win, of course, and yeah, now we take it to the last game. So great character from the lads. You know, I thought we played really well today. Yeah, we created a few chances, especially in the first half. So it was nice from this man to come on and put one in the back of the net.
Yeah, no, it's definitely up there. But again, we still have one more game to go. We're not really there yet. So our focus was to win this game and then get through. And now his next game is Barca. We have to get points. So it'll be a tough game, but a fun game, because we know what we have to play for. And yeah, it was nice to come on and score a goal.
Mark Scott joins us now. Spurs 1, Inter 0. Did they deserve it?
They did, overall, Chris. They had plenty of chances, and you wondered whether they'd blown their chance because they'd failed to make the most of the opportunities that came their way. There were a few raised eyebrows that Christian Eriksen was left out of the starting lineup. Likewise, Son Heung-min. They both came on to good effect. Eriksen, of course, scoring that crucial goal. But it was the performance of Moussa Sissoko that really stood out. All action in the centre of midfield. He helped to maintain a degree of control over Inter magicians in the middle, and also gave some real physicality to their attacks going forwards, which is obviously how they got their goal, their crucial goal, with 10 minutes left to play. But on the whole, they fully deserved it. They had some nervous moments towards the end. Even Perisic forced a save out of Hugo Lloris, who had to be on his money late on as well when D'Ambrosio let fly from long range. But yes, overall they deserved it, and they take it into that match day six encounter away to Barcelona, where if they match Inter's result against PSV Eindhoven, they will, against all of the odds, be through.
Mark, does this show us how far Tottenham have come in a Champions League context? Because, you know, you look at the contrast between the season before last and last season. Now, they looked like novices when they got back into the Champions League. And then there was such a big step up. You know, they were one of the best teams in the Champions League until they got knocked out of it by Juventus last season, did everything that was asked of them. Now they've had to deal with something a lot tougher. And the fact that they're coming back from that, does this show us that they're a team of real substance?
I think so, Andy, because tonight Inter were using every trick in the book. Luciano Spalletti made sure that they slowed the tempo right down, that Spurs weren't able to play their quick pressing type of game that they enjoy trying to be able to play. And they kept their cool. They didn't get flustered. They maintained a degree of composure right until the end. You never got the feeling they were just launching long balls into the penalty area in hope rather than expectation. And it all came good for them in the end. And Mauricio Pochettino made his changes. They came off for him as well. So there is a degree of maturity, a calmness about them, a serenity that shows perhaps they have learnt from previous heartache and are ready to take that into the future.
Mark, you mentioned there about what's going to happen on match day six, and if Spurs can better Inter's result, they'll go through. Maybe the problem is that Inter host PSV, who were beaten 2-1 by Barcelona, and Tottenham have to go to Barcelona. But that victory for Barca, goals from Lionel Messi and Gerard Piqué, Luke de Jong got one back, and PSV actually hit the woodwork three times. That means Barcelona are through as group winners. So, of course, it's going to be tough there, but if Spurs could play Barcelona at any stage, it probably would be in those circumstances.
Absolutely. I mean, everyone will be wondering, with the group wrapped up, will Barcelona rotate? We saw Monaco earlier on experiment with their fate already sealed, with Barcelona already through as group winners. Maybe there'll be some experimentation. They do go to Levante days after the Spurs game, where they suffered their only Liga loss in the 2017-18 campaign. So that could potentially play a part. But I think Spurs will just be delighted that they're in with a shot going there. And they'll be full of confidence given their run of form at the moment. Six consecutive wins now in all competitions. They've beaten Inter on their own patch. They have the North London Derby coming up on Sunday. If they can win that and keep this winning run going into the match over in Barca, well, you wouldn't back against them.
You wouldn't. This is the Group B table going into match day six. Barcelona, 13 points, group winners. Tottenham, 7. Inter 7, Spurs just ahead on head-to-head by away goals, actually. It's that tight. And then PSV will finish bottom of the section on 1 point at the moment. In Group A, Atletico on Wednesday. Knew a win against Monaco would see them qualify for the last 16. Richard Connolly, watch this one for Match Day Live.
Here's Koke, 25 metres out, goes for goal, it's deflected, it's gone in! Atleti have scored in 90 seconds, and Thierry Henry looks around in dismay. Here's Griezmann finding Correa for Atleti. Correa, left side of the penalty area, sits the defender down, Jemison slips, back to Griezmann, it must be two! He's finished it delightfully from just 6 metres out, with the outside of his left boot, almost as if he had so much time he could choose the more difficult finish. And he planted it in with great conviction to put another wrinkle on the forehead of Thierry Henry. 2-0 to Atleti, but here's Monaco's chance. Falcao, oh, he's put it wide! He's passed it beyond the right-hand post. And maybe Monaco's chance has gone too. He missed the goal completely.
Falcao will always be loved by Atletico fans, and maybe just that bit more after missing that late penalty, Andy Brassel. 3 points and they knew they'd be through. They missed out on the knockout stages last season, of course, one of the big casualties, the biggest casualty really of the group stage, that from minute one against a very young, inexperienced Monaco side, they never looked like they were going to pass up the chance, did they?
Yeah, they were ruthless, and it was a very Atletico performance. They kind of coasted through the second half, but of course we know it means so much to them. For them to get it over the hump and actually win the Champions League would be huge to them, especially as the finals in the Metropolitano. I mean, this season, I think they're as well set as they can be. I think there's still a question over how adventurous they can be in league play, in the very biggest matches to win La Liga. In the Champions League, they've got another gear, and that's pretty clear. And because it means so much to them, because the scars of 2014 and 2016 are there, they will begin to feel it is their year.
And Richard Connolly mentioned in commentary, and he's absolutely right. Nobody ever wants to play Atletico over two legs in knockout stage football, they know how to win games, don't they?
That's absolutely right. And of course, Diego Costa's having a little injury layoff at the moment. To me, that just says he's going to be fresh for the knockout stages.
I couldn't agree more.
Beware.
And he's a terrifying prospect, isn't
he? He is.
As any defender will testify. Well, elsewhere in that group, it finished Dortmund 0, Club Brugge 0. Enough to send Dortmund, the Bundesliga leaders, through. Pulisic and Royce burned good chances to win the game, but Dortmund only needed a draw, and that is what they got. Match day 6, Monaco against Dortmund and Club Brugge versus Atletico. This is the Group A table. Atleti 12 points, Dortmund 10. Then come Club Brugge with 5, who have wrapped up a Europa League spot with that point tonight in Germany, and Monaco bottom of the section with 1. Into Group D now, where the big result was in one of the early games. Lokomotiv 2, Galatasaray 0. Not necessarily for those two clubs, but the defeat for the Turkish side put Porto and Schalke through, Andy Brassel, before they'd even played in northern Portugal.
Yes, that's right. And accordingly, Porto versus Schalke was a nice, open,
yes,
exciting game. I think it did matter in terms of group leadership. Of course, Porto getting there with a 3-1 win in the end and continuing their excellent group stage form in the Champions League over the last couple of seasons. I tend to think this is a year when finishing top really matters, especially for the teams out of that group, with all due respect to them. You know, they will feel that they could draw a real shark if they finish in second place. That now won't be Porto, because they have won the group. Nice little club record as well for Moussa Marega, going in the footsteps of the great Mario Jardel and scoring in 4 successive Champions League games with pretty much the last kick of the game.
I felt a bit sorry for Ralf Fuhrmann, who had another outstanding game for Schalke. But one of those evenings when they're already through, Lokomotiv Moscow, a big win for Yuri Semin in his side. They can still pip Galatasaray now to third place, which, you know, ultimately all these teams thought this section was open. And actually, it wasn't quite as open, was it, given two teams are through with a game to spare?
No, that's right. Schalke have really defied their domestic struggles. They've been excellent in the Champions League. I think Lokomotiv have slightly got the drop on Galatasaray for this final place, even though they're lacking in head-to-head. I just feel that even if Porto go to Istanbul and play with essentially a B team, I mean, you just have to look at some of the players they've got on the bench, the likes of Adrian Lopez, who's scored in the UEFA Champions League semi-final, Anani, the winger. You know, there's such quality in there, and academy players that they've started to bring through as well.
Match day 6 then. These are the fixtures: Schalke against Lokomotiv Moscow, as you mentioned, in Istanbul, Galatasaray against Porto in the Group D standings. Porto top, 13 points, winners of that section. Schalke second with 8, then come Galatasaray with 4 and Lokomotiv Moskva with 3. We'll head back to Wembley now and hear from Mauricio Pochettino after Tottenham's win over Inter.
We are ready to fight and ready to compete and ready to try to win the game. We need to have patience. We need to try to dominate the game and do in the way that we want. And of course, it will be tough, but we are very confident. We are capable to play how we played last game. I think we are going to be close.
Mauricio Pochettino there. Final word from Mark Scott. Your moment or your player of the night from that excellent Spurs win?
Well, the moment was certainly the goal from Christian Eriksen. Wonderful move, but it neatly ties into my man of the match as well, because Moussa Sissoko was the driving force behind that goal, and his all-action display gets my vote.
Moussa Sissoko is in the form of his life at the moment. Not many Spurs fans would possibly have had him in their best 11 at the start of the campaign, but he certainly is now. Phil Blacker, your other match commentator this evening. Moment of the night from what was a fantastic evening between Paris Saint-Germain and Liverpool?
Really was. I think that the Neymar goal is the one that ultimately settled it. But kind of the moment that summed up the spirit of the performance was when Marquinhos and Thiago Silva came together, snuffed out yet another Liverpool attack, and they chest-bumped each other. They were roaring in defiance, getting the whole crowd in the stand behind the goal. I think that just summed up the dominant defensive display that ultimately saw them through to the victory.
Full-time whistle celebrations were like Paris Saint-Germain had qualified, or it was a big knockout stage game, wasn't it? Andy, your moment from anything else this week, it's been a great week in the Champions League.
I think I'm going to go for Dries Mertens and his two goals. Napoli very, very close now. They were seen as the dark horses in the group, but they're in control of their own destiny. And Decibel Bellini, who likes to give Dries Mertens name about 12 chance after yes. he scores, he must be feeling a bit hoarse now.
I bet he'll be at Anfield as well on match day 6. We are out of time here on UEFA Champions League Match Day Live. What an evening of group stage action it's been, though. Atletico, Dortmund, Porto and Schalke through. Barcelona wrapped up top spot and Group C is going to the wire. Remember to join us on UEFA.com or the UEFA Champions League app for the final two nights of group stage action on Tuesday the 11th and Wednesday the 12th of December. But for now, from all of us here on Match Day Live, it's good night.
Down the left into the penalty area, crosses for Cavani, saved by Becker, in by Neymar. 2-0 Paris.
Back to Griezmann, it must be two. He's finished it delightfully from just 6 metres out with the outside of his left boot.
Chance here for Dele Alli, he can tee it up for Eriksen. It's there for Spurs. That could be the goal that keeps their Champions League dream alive.
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Matchday Live.